Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, members of the Community Catholic Church clergy gather to worship, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition, and you can join in by clicking on the links that you see on the show page below. And now, let's celebrate our wonderful connection with Creator and prepare our hearts for worship. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this third Sunday after Pentecost. Today, we are privileged to have participating with us
Dean Sam, the Reverends Janet, Denise, Liz, and Chris.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord for the day. O God, our defender, storms rage about us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear. And preserve us from all unbelief. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman and her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of this son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation for him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, along with the child, and sent her away, and wandered about the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted her voice and wept. Then God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 86,
1 through 10 and 16 to 17. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for you do I cry all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant for you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving girl. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not come known. What I say to you in dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth. I have not come to bring peace to earth, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household.
Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. For the preacher, today's gospel falls into the category of things we wish Jesus had said a little differently. These are really hard words. He talks of the devil, Beelzebul, and sacrifice and splitting up families. He says that if we don't put him first, he'll deny us and we're not worthy of him. When I was a new priest, there was a woman in my parish whose faith was deep and profound. I don't know if I've ever known anyone else so passionate about Jesus. She was unshakable in her conviction that she was one with him and God. She had been in England in World War II. An experience she had totally transformed her. She found herself alone, flat on the ground during a bombing. She said that there were explosions happening all around her and she'd never been so terrified. As she tried to find cover, she heard a voice. It was a gentle voice that told her how much she was loved and she would be safe. She started praying. She prayed the Lord's Prayer, Psalm 23, and any other prayer she could think of. She spoke to Jesus and she asked for others to be spared. After a while, the bombing stopped and she was fine. She told me that she felt the presence of Christ with her throughout, and that she was ready if death came, because she knew that Jesus was with her, and he'd take her to heaven. But she was happy to continue on with her life. Every day she walked as though she were holding hands with Jesus. He was a constant, present figure in her life. And I think of her when I hear this text. She encountered the risen Christ in that terrifying situation. You may have heard similar experiences from people who encountered Christ in a time of need. It's a life-changing thing. I've often told the story of my ordination to the priesthood. As hands were laid on me and the priests surrounding me pressed in, I looked up at the archbishop, and for a brief moment, I didn't see his face. I saw Jesus. I saw the face of Christ. It was one of those shake your head, did that really happen moments. But I know what I saw, and the empowerment in that moment was incredible. As we look to the gospel text today, we're jumping into the middle of words that Jesus is sharing with his disciples. Now, they're dedicated to him. They've left families, they've left their employment, they've left everything to follow him. And he's sharing with them at a very deep level. He's preparing them for hard things to come. Things are being said in secret about him. He's aware of those conspiring around him. His message is making a difference with people, and people are flocking to him to hear his stories of a forgiving, compassionate God and his words of comfort and hope. The religious leaders are worried and are more and more aware of him. They see him as a growing danger, a revolutionary, a radical rabbi who breaks the law, who stirs the hearts of people everywhere. This is a problem. So Jesus is reminding his disciples that they don't need to be afraid. Their dedication is not lost on God, who knows how many hairs there are on their heads. He's reassuring them that God loves them so deeply and eternally that the message he shares cannot be silenced. And he reminds them that there are those who may kill the body, but their soul is with God forever. Jesus is aware that following him is a radical decision. He knows that the message he brings is shaking the foundation of the status quo. There's an urgency about his work and his mission. He's got a lot to do and much to say before the leaders finally decide that he must be stopped. So his disciples understand that every moment with Jesus is a step closer to understanding God, to finding the answers in their hearts, to taking up the cross and following him. with everything that they had. Now, that's a pretty tall order. And for those of us in this place and time, it may seem quite impossible. How can we turn our lives upside down? How can we, who've never sat at his feet, shout from the rooftops and shake up our households? And do we even want that? For my long ago friend, who walked with Jesus every day, it was a no-brainer. We may want to know Jesus with that kind of familiarity. Why do we hold back? If Jesus is our Savior, if he died for us, if he calls us to follow him, why do we hesitate? I think it might come down to what we've learned about Jesus, what we've personally heard, each of us in our lives. How do you know him? There are many flavors of Christianity in our world today, many of which little resemble the good news of Jesus. Some are playing out perversely through right-wing political groups. People are being set against one another in his name. There are others who are trying hard to follow the teachings of Christ as they understand them. They embrace love, they work from that focus, even when it's tough. And Scripture says Jesus will acknowledge their good works. The question boils down to, who is Jesus to you? How much are you willing to give up to get to know him better, to spend time in prayer, to explore his words? I am talking here of leaving Facebook for an hour, starting your day inviting him into your prayers. Nothing major, nothing like going on a 80-day retreat. Just a little bit of time here and there to be with Jesus. When we allow ourselves to take time and to seek Jesus, it will mean that we come to new understandings and insights. When we bring our problems and concerns to him in the quiet of our hearts, we will be given answers. When we approach our loving, compassionate God, there is no darkness, there are no secrets. We meet Jesus, who calls us to carry our crosses, but also assures us that the yoke is easy and our burden light. Remember that in our baptisms we are set on a path of faith. As we are sprinkled with holy water and sealed with the sign of the cross, we become one with Christ. We become a part of his body. We are his beloved forever. This connection cannot be broken. The love and blessings available to you cannot be stopped unless we choose. Today, know that even as you pick up your cross, it's already been carried for you. As you look to Jesus, he's already standing with arms outstretched. As you ask for help, it's already there. May we have the eyes of faith to see Jesus walking with us every day. And may we know that we are Christ's own in this life and in the life to come. That is something we can shout from the rooftop. We are loved. We are worthy. We are blessed. Amen.
A time of intercessory prayer. As we stand in God's presence, let us pray the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. The whole people of God, that each one may be a true and faithful servant, pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those drawing near to the light of faith, that the Lord will bring them to true knowledge of himself, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our families and friends, that the Lord will give them joy and satisfaction in all that they do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are lonely, sick, hungry, persecuted, or ignored, that the Lord will comfort and sustain them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, that the Lord will help us to contribute to its true growth and well-being, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the whole human family, that we may live together in justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God and give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of the day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessing in the world.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister in this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day and evermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.